broadcast through the Wolf Spirit Media Network. Please join us in the chat room at wolfspiritmedia.net. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, beyond. Tune in with TalkStream Live, search for Ever Beyond. Also, you can call to listen on 712-432-9588. Selected archives are also available on my YouTube channel, Studio 9 Jam. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Wolf Spirit Radio, indeed you are listening to. This is Jay of the P, and it's the 5th of November. It's 5 past 11. In the month of 11, and here we are. I've got, well, a guest that normally requires no introduction, but I just want to introduce her as like one of my favorite guests. She is a fount of knowledge and wisdom, and has really done the stuff, done all the really hard, grindy work that it takes to be a proper scientist in the real world, in the real meaning of the word, somebody who is devoted to knowledge. This person is Shari Edwards, and I, without any further ado, I just want to bring you on. Hello, Shari, how are you?
Hello, it's always fun to be with you. I'm going to challenge you tonight, I think.
Are you? I'm always up for a challenge.
We're going to get inside the inside.
Okay, beyond the inside. So.
Yes.
No, I'm not going to say anything about blue gloves. So, wait, what would you like? You said you wanted to ask me a question. So, I was saying that I've only got a few number of words. So if I can answer in short now. All right. How long an answer do you want?
As long as it takes to
fill up your radio.
Give me an understanding, because mm-hmm. I don't know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
You are a musician. You know a lot about the math and the science mm-hmm. and the creativity of music. Mm-hmm. Where does it come from, and how do you know how to put it together?
Huh. Now, that's a very good question. And, I asked you in the break, you know who Alex Collier is, and one of the things that he was saying in his webinars is that he was one of the things that the Andromedans are interested in us about. One of the gifts and talents that amaze them is our ability to make up music out of nowhere, and I suppose if you were just to sit and listen in the garden, say you were in the 17th century, there wouldn't be that many industrial noises. So the sounds of the sounds that go into your head, are very harmonious and generally of long, slow cycles, like the cycles of the day or, you know, the sound of the sea and things like that. And as we become more and more industrialized, our music becomes more and more, you know, repetitive and machine-like, less iambic, less heartbeat-like. But it's when you mix the two together, that's where you get the really exciting kind of cutting-edge music that that the young people listen to today, which is like the blend of techno and of African beats. I find, you know, that's the most exciting thing. But where does music come from? So where does all this sound come from? You know, people in these inner cities, they make a lot of music. I think what it's, how would I express it? I suppose if you were to, look upon a landscape and write a poem about it, you know, what's coming in your eyes and through your senses is then being focused into an expression. You're expressing that thing. So, music is another way of expressing those feelings. Music is what feelings sound like. So I suppose that's where I'd go with that. Music is the sound of feelings. How's that?
Have you ever heard your DNA set to music?
Now, I've heard about the idea that DNA is simply a set of four frequencies. And that's
yes.
Like a, that's like a blues guitar solo. You can play a blues guitar solo with just four notes. So, do they have a harmonic pentatonic relationship with each other?
Well, they do if you start looking at the even tempered scale, that C sharp is the average of C and D and so forth on down the line. When you look at the Pythagorean scale, it's all based on add and subtract. And when you look at the even tempered scale, it's based on multiply and divide. So my question is, and I'll start over here in the corner and come to the center and finishing this sentence, frequency is. Now, let's do the analogy of two pebbles in a pond. And when you put two pebbles in at once, right next to each other, they create a third wave. And I'm really going towards something here, that somebody has declared, and they're dead now, but they've declared that we are seedlings and that we don't have enough here to have created ourselves in our own DNA. If you really look at this idea of two pebbles in a pond and they create a third. So there's the C and the D note that created a third. Now think about all of the things that were in the beginning. Nitrogen, hydrogen, oxygen, sulfur. If everything that moves has a sound, and even the movements of the planets have a sound, and those are the relationships, and I'm getting the hiccups, those are the relationships of how we put our music together, except Pythagoras thought everything was in concentric circles, and then Kepler came along and said, no, they're in elliptical orbits, and that's kind of how the music started. So let's make this assumption that as those planets moved, they create a sound, and it's much like dog whistles. It's there, but we can't hear it. And then that those sounds started to collide, and when they collided, boom, sound barrier, and it created matter. And so we have mathematically looked at this. And water's frequency plus nitrogen's frequency, they combined equals oxygen. And water minus oxygen equals hydrogen. They bounced off each other. So think about this idea that sounds are really math. And math is here whether, well, I should say frequency is here. Whether humans are here to construct it and deconstruct it and call it math. So I'm thinking that as our planet, as our substances, as our elements came together out of the bang and began to make us and eventually DNA, and we made music in the form of our DNA, and as more noises and sounds came together, like you say, the different kinds of music was evolved from our internal space and from our external space. So music may have originally come from the heartbeat, the drum, or the birds or the crickets. We really don't know, but it's all in a quest for us to understand our own creation and our own meaning for being here. So I think music is much more than entertainment. I think music is the rhythm of our being, from our atoms to our cells to our organs, to our emotions, to our entrainment with our environment. and with our universe. How's that?
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Yeah, have you ever done a voiceover with music behind things that you say? Because that would, you know, that would be the great, like you had a great, you have that on a video. That would sound great. So maybe if somebody wants to clip that out and put that at the beginning or make a video out of what Shari just said, because that's it, the frequencies of the universe. And, you know, a lot of people say we're in a hologram. Well, a hologram is made of light, and light is frequency, and frequency is what we say the universe is made from. So very much like, you know, if we're made from frequencies, then yes, you could describe the manner in which we are manifest is through the interference of sound waves, creating matter in the eddies and ripple currents of the ethers. So,
well,
and sound
argument.
Can be hard, can't it? I mean, if you, for instance,
yes.
If you were a pigeon and you flew in front of a Ted Nugent amplifier stack, it's been known that birds are disintegrated if they go in front of one of these PA systems, just through sound, shattered. So, go ahead.
It's happened when you look at some of the cymatic stuff and, what is the guy's name?
Hans Jenny.
That's awful to have Hans Jenny. Yes. He set off a 6-foot police whistle with a compressor and it discombobulated the person to, they were just a puddle in the floor. That's in one of his book, The Man, Mystic and the Physicist. I can't remember which of the books it's in, but that happened. A 6-foot police whistle, and it discombobulated DNA. So yes, we can be killed with sound. We can be manipulated with sound. We can be manipulated with music even. But there are some things that have just happened recently that I decoded the sounds that were coming into the Cuban hotel and the Japanese hotel. And just like a voice, a sound can be decoded, and found out that sound was designed to destroy the coagulation of the blood and cause heart attacks. I've written an article about it, Sounds That Kill. I think I sent it to you.
So you did.
Because you're on our list. Oh, good grief. It's long, isn't it?
Oh, so it is. All right. But you're talking about this low rumbling sound that people have been talking about for many years. I remember reading newspapers back in the 1970s talking about the hum. So do you want to talk about that?
Well, I just took it apart with all of our computer programs. The FBI did an evaluation on it and decided that there wasn't anything to it. And I thought, if this is causing people to be sick and dizzy and nauseous and whatever, I'm going to put it into our computer programs and see what's really in there. And we've created an antidote, and I'll give it to you so you can give it on your show. I don't have it in front of me. So that if this ever happens to anybody, then they have an antidote ready. But white light would do the same thing. The frequencies of white light, which is B and C together, the average of that creates white light. And we can talk about white light later because it is... Excuse me.
You know, Shari, you need one of these buttons. You know this thing that I designed this week? You need exactly that. Go on. Mute yourself while you go.
I have an off button. I'll use it next time. But white light is incredibly important to our being here, and we've talked about that before. But if somebody could send a sound to you that would cause the frequency of arsenic, which is a blood thinner, and the frequency of fibrinogen, which coagulates the blood all at once, your body's going to get really upset, just like there's these sick buildings, and we test sounds in buildings and stuff. There are buildings that put off bad sounds by their air conditioning and whatever, and actually make people have migraines or susceptible people to have migraines. But I want to go back to the beginning of how sounds affect people, because I think it's going to be the same way music affects people, except when something is 100 cycles to 400 cycles, most music is in there, then you can turn it off and on. But when it's in the lower cycles, the body entrains to it, and you become that frequency. Because I just think you're a big pile of frequencies anyway.
Thanks.
Well, look at the article about the robot I sent you, and about the argument for what keeps us together. Different octaves of sound. Now, not necessarily music. Magnetic potential is what keeps all the frequencies doing what they ought to do. Think about you driving down the road at 60 miles an hour. That's a frequency. But all the rules that keep you on your side, that's the magnetic potential. And that's what's being messed up by all this electricity and smart meters and whatever. And people are getting really ill because all the frequencies, I guess I keep saying frequency, the signals are going to the wrong place or they aren't strong enough. And I think we're really mucking up our system. And I think somebody ought to create music to counteract that. Music to live by or something like that to counteract all this horrible stuff.
That's a really interesting thought, because it was actually somebody was talking about this in the last show. How can we shield ourselves from all these big AMFs and all these things? So what you need is to have something that is so, is the word endemic? No. So fundamental to us. That once, and it's got to be like a resonant root note, that once you strike, it shakes everything else off. And I'm immediately brought to thinking of when you get a dog wet, or when you vibrate a cat, the cat's gone through some, jumped off at some danger thing. What they immediately do is they send a sine wave through their body. They do that thing. That reestablishes their frequency. And I think that humans can do that, and Indian people do that. The way they move their head?
Mm-hmm.
That's a sine wave, and that sends a sine wave down the body. Go ahead.
I'm gonna give you the secret to do this. There
Do you want some secrets? Do you want the secret music? The revealing of secrets music. Here we go, hang on. Godmother Sherry.
See that yellow note in there just absolutely sent my chest wide open. That's awesome. When the sperm and the egg comes together, they can't quite understand it, but it creates ATP, adenosine triphosphate, the very first chemical that comes into the zygote, the conception egg in sperm. ATP, it's exactly the note that is halfway between B and C. Now, when you die and you see all this white light, your body stores all the excess, not all, but most of the excess, in your eyeball. So this starts to implode and starts to dissipate, and there you die. Now, remember, that's biochemically. Now, remember, you see white light when you die and all that? So if you were to create music with all the notes halfway between every note that we know of, starting with A at 440, and we can look around about 6/100s, so you could do A 442 or 432 or whatever, but make a piece of music with all the notes halfway in between. And I think that would take us back to our beginning, our conception, and I think it would protect us.
Well, the reason that we've talked about this before, is because everybody's got a natal frequency. And I believe this is the basis of true astrology. It's the frequency of something you carry with you from the moment you're born, and it's something to do with the day of the sun, you know, the day of the year, which is an angle of the sun or something. But, because it was my particular frequency, because you said, ah, yes, it's just between B and C. It's like if you were just between Aries and Pisces. And I said, it's about March the 18th in terms of astrology. And she said, yeah, yeah, well, that's when my birthday is. So there's this moment, there's a representation. So all I need to do is, all I need to do is sing, isn't it?
Yes, we have an article about it teaches people to sing their own sound. And if they ever get into this stressful position in a hotel, they can listen to or sing their own sound. It allows you to astral project. It's on our site, the Sound Health Options site, under In the News and New Articles. And it's about going into theta, and I think it's about going down to level, or what they call the beginning, and bringing yourself into alignment with whatever's going on for the moment. Now, I've created this whole system where people can give us a vocal sample and get a report and whatever, but I don't think people need any of it. I think we just need to remember how to go in and listen. I'm not sure that people can do it in the city, you know, unless they have some special route to find it, and that's what we've put up on our site. But we're trying very hard to bring people back to their center and to their health. And I think just like there's sour notes in a song, somehow our DNA or whatever gets polluted and it doesn't divide correctly. And so we end up having some kind of disease or stress or something. And I think people who make music that just kind of flows through them, like Jill Madsen and David James Mann and some of these other people that just do this phenomenal, and you, JP, this phenomenal just kind of flow through. But not one of you can explain to me where the music comes from.
Well, that's...
It's just
yeah,
there.
Here's my thing, is I'll be wandering around and I'll hear a few sounds. Somebody might slam a door, for instance, and somebody might move a chair at the same time. And it goes boom, bah, or something. I don't know. And it only takes a tiny little bit of that to create a rhythm. And then that rhythm starts knocking around and bouncing around in my head and developing into something that is more musical. And I think that's, we kind of musicalize the universe around us. So it's like, and like I was saying, you know, if you're sitting around in 17th century England, you're not going to have industrial beats. Everything's going to be, more gentle and more slow moving. So it's a result of what's coming in to our sensory organs and our, you know, non-sensory organs as well, because I'm presumably, because, you know, I hear music all the time. You know, there's something going on all the time in my head. I've already, you know, I always told you about, I've got this, like a tinnitus thing, but that's like the didgeridoo part. That's like the drone. And there's, you know, all these other things that go along with that. So I think music is like, it's the soundtrack to our lives. When you see in a movie and they put down, Steppenwolf, get out on the highway, you know, everybody just thinks I'm shifting my car into gear, or I'm shifting my bike into gear. You know, there's the movement feeling comes with the music in a really visceral way, the way that works. Simon was asked an interesting question, we'll talk about that in a minute. But so for me, the music comes kind of, it's what's bouncing around inside my head, whether it comes from an outside source, which it often usually does, but that's often mixed with some memory or inside source or some other trigger that might also be coming from other dimensionalities, you know, like different senses.
I had one lady explain it to me this way. If I ask her what she had for breakfast this morning, it's all there. It's in there. But if I ask her what she's having for breakfast tomorrow, she has to think about it in sort of a linear fashion. And sometimes whole songs just drop in, like what she had for breakfast, and she has to scramble to write them down. And then I ask, well, where did that come from? And she didn't know that either. I think there's other dimensions here. Think about telephone lines. Used to be one wire, one voice. Now they have fiber optic cables, and they change the frequency of the voice so one wire can carry thousands of frequencies. And I think if we get in touch with our own frequency, our own now, our own tune, and we do have the frequencies for each person now, then they'll be able to see these other dimensions. And sometimes it just starts with seeing things out of the corner of your eye or animals. And then sometimes it takes being still. But a real shortcut to going to those other dimensions is listening to that sound in your head. Now, not your tinnitus sound. There's another sound. And by the way, we've done a research project on tinnitus, and it's actin, myosin, and potassium are the things that usually cause that tinnitus. But you may find yours useful, and you may want to keep it.
Well, potassium. Yeah, I've got lots of notes, actually. So, I mean, I could do with a few less. So bananas, what's that? Bananas and what?
Potassium, actin, and myosin. Myosin is a biochemical, and it's not in food. I don't think actin's a protein that makes things build back, because sometimes it is damage to the ear. But some people find it annoying, and some people find it very, very useful. Bananas, baked potatoes, I'll look it up for you and send it to you.
Fabulous.
Or you can look it up.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of bioacoustics, though. If you can't go buy something like a gene, we can stimulate it with sound. I love that part.
Well, so this comes to a point that we were talking about in the last show. In my personal research, I discovered that one of the things that helps people to unbutton trauma is the use of breathing. Breathing. Remember that? And by breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, it has a cleansing effect. And I believe that a lot of the unbuttoning happens because you're actually introducing oxygen into the mix, into the actual fuel that the body needs to run on. Bring it in does help, but it's shock that prevents our bodies from breathing normally. Have you got any research on that? And then I'll go on to the next part of that point.
On shock or guilt?
Shock,
yeah,
and breathing. Do you know when somebody goes, hey, Sherry, like momentarily you hold your breath?
Yes. I never thought about that before.
Yeah.
But absolutely, you have to breathe at a cellular level to get all of the junk toxins back out of your system. And people aren't breathing properly if they snore. Because one of the things that happens with cellular breathing, like you're talking about that deep breathing, is there's an exchange of the oxygen and the carbon dioxide. And the carbon dioxide coming back through your throat keeps your throat muscles in turgor, keeps them stiff, so they don't collapse and you snore. So that's a good way to tell whether or not you need some deep breathing exercises. Or just put some sounds on that cause you to breathe deeper.
So
we've already figured that one out.
That was where we were going to. So that's perfect. But I want to just introduce another little slice of data point here. Is that when you oxygenate something, if you take water, for instance, and oxygenate it, It becomes hydrogen peroxide. It becomes an alkaline. So if you breathe into your body, you're making it more alkaline. And one of the things that we were talking about is there a frequency that makes your body alkaline? And so we arrive at that very point. So go ahead, Jerry.
Well, I don't know the answer to that. I would think it would be hydrogen or some combination. But we just look at people's voice. We go with the numbers. We've thrown away all the correlates because we found out we just are trying to guess at what's going on. So it's math that we're looking at now. Math is medicine. The brain is the central processing unit, and all the neural networks around the body that moves your fingers and whatever. But just like the music, we can't figure out where the originating impulse comes from. Where do cells get their energy? Pyruvate and lactic acid biochemically. But if you put those two together, you get oxygen. Isn't that fun as math?
Here goes oxygen again. So I've been also going around talking about this. JP's theory of the universe is that everything is a plasma globe. Do you remember
Plasmic globe?
Do you know what a plasma globe is? You know those, a spherical, about 6 to 8 inches big. And in the middle, it's got this little thing. And then lightning comes from the inside to the outside.
Yeah, when you touch the globe?
That's right. So somehow the force moves through the globe, passes through the glass. It's not stopped by it. Interesting to think about, isn't it?
Wouldn't it be nice if we could just spill all the answers to the universe on the show?
Well, yeah. So anyway, my theory is that a star like the sun is that. That's what it's like on the inside. An atom is also like that. It's got this source in the middle and it's sending lightning out to the outside. The sun is causing the corona to light up on the outside. And planets also have a spark on the inside, or a sun on the inside, that cause it to grow slowly. And that also humans also have the permanent atom. It's like the tiniest atom of a star inside us to grow. And so we all exhibit that same behavior of growing from the inside out. And so that's my plasma globe theory of the universe. What do you think of that?
I think that's awesome, but where does the original impulse come from, and where does it go when you die?
Well, it all curls back on itself. It's all like a torus, you know, going up and down and through and inside and outside of itself, inside out of itself. All the time.
Like a black hole?
Yeah, everything's turning itself in and out. Yeah, inside out all the time.
Like, do you think we go to another dimension when we die?
I think we're already in another dimension. And we just let go of the physical body, which releases us from the pull of the third dimension.
Sometimes I think I'm already dead, and my punishment is that I work 24 hours a day, which seems to be what I'm doing.
Dante's Inferno, yes indeed.
Yeah.
Well, whatever terrible sins you've created in the past, you're certainly more than making up for it by creating making this understanding available. If only people would know, you know. I've been promoting you for as long as I've been on the radio. You were like my first guest. I feel a great friendship and honor and, happy to always talk with you, because it's always an expansive, experience. You always come up, you like me, you're always coming up with new stuff. So it's always fun.
Well, that's what we were trying to do when I was trying to get on last week. And I guess the universe wanted something else to happen, because we had this 2-day course that we wanted to invite people to, and it's free, and it's 2 days, 10 to 4 Eastern time in the U.S., and we provide you with the software so that you can put a microphone in someone's face and see what their frequencies are from their voice, because we see the voice as a holographic representation of all that you are. So we're just trying to take people back to that core, to that center, and then trying to help them understand it. Because if, well, two things here. If we want to create a universe where people have their health in their own hands instead of the government, which is getting to be a big problem here in the U.S. But we also want to give people the tools to set up a center to help other people. There's some people who want it done for them. There's people who want to do it for themselves. So we're trying to accommodate both people, both sets of people, by teaching these classes. And you can't get any less expensive than free. And to give them the software to go with it. So that was our idea being on last week. Now, this week, we're going to do it again in December, the first part of December, if someone wants to be a part of this course to learn about this energy that we're talking about that comes out as music and frequency. And we also have it online now. Sound Health Portal, like a ship window, a portal, soundhealthportal.com. And we have free evaluations of people's sounds. We wish that they would just talk naturally, but some people sing or read. But we can do evaluations of your brain needs, the nutrients for your brains, because I think our food supplies messed us up. We're putting up PTSD. We just put up Breathe Easy for all the people in the fire in California, because the fire retardant is poisoning people. So we're to create.
And your co-host was deeply affected by it. Did the frequency help him?
Yes, it did. And there's also a chart that if you are susceptible here, then this is the nutrient. Everybody's body is susceptible on some frequency or the other. Some frequencies more than the other. I'm susceptible for the frequencies of D, which you help supply a lot, and that's probably why we get along so well. But we try to evaluate those in terms of the fire retardants. It's like you have 10 foods here, and you make everybody eat all the food, and some people won't like some of it, and it won't agree with their body. So we're just trying to find their vulnerable spots and help them fill it back in with food, it's a frequency, or emotions, or color, or whatever. So we've created that for people that they want us to do it for them. But for people who want to do this for themselves and for other people, we'll be doing another 2-day free class. And I'm saying that because that's what we were trying to announce last week, to get people into that class. I don't know what we'll do it on, if people have got an idea. You know, one of the things that I've read about England is that there's a lot of Lewy protein issues there. I don't know why.
Lewy protein sounds like an artist.
L-E-W-Y. Lewy proteins. That's a form of dementia, and it's more prevalent in England than any place else. So maybe we'll do it on dementia.
Ah, I live in an alternate dementia.
Yeah. So if people would send us information or ideas about what they want to see in these 2-day free classes. You know, people think, oh, it's a free class, it must be nothing. People are astounded at what we give away. And it's because this needs to happen. We are being, oh, what is the word? Squashed. That's not the right word, but
compressed.
There's so many things coming down from big pharma and medicine, FARMA and PHARMA, and these fire retardants and the stuff that they spray on us for bugs, and our health is being influenced, and we want to provide people a way to be their optimal self. because I think that's the only way we're going to survive. But that brings up the question, do we want to survive? If the bomb goes off, do you want to be the first or the last person to go? Boy, that's a whole show, isn't it?
Well, you know, that's a very interesting point, is if there is going to be total global destruction, would you rather be first, or would you rather see everybody fall to pieces in front of you, suffer the experience of having to clean up, and maybe even being a survivor? Sometimes that might be worse, you know, to survive a devastation like that, because, you know, there'll be no fresh milk for a start. No tea.
Yes. check your Skype. I just sent you some frequency stuff.
Okay.
And if we could teach everyone to do their own sound, and all they need is their voice or to a quiet place and listen to their ears, if they didn't need an internet or a tone box, if we could just teach everybody to do their own, then that's my goal, because I think that's where we came from. I think that's what the Templars were about, bringing back that internal information, because it's all there in our DNA, and if we just listen to it, yes, I'm offering these classes. Yes, they don't cost a thing. Yes, they're tremendous and full, and people are always surprised by them. But really, people don't need anything that I have, and I think people created music to try to put their DNA back into perfect order. And I think that's what people like JP are doing. They're creating the music so that it can be done from the outside in. And if we would just listen, it could be done from the inside out.
Well, music is very penetrative in that, you know, you play a bass note and every cell of your body, you know, it penetrates right down through your skin. And, you know, through everything, you know, you can hear it through concrete walls. If you're going to do something from the inside, that is going to be the way to get there. Nothing, you know, you could kind of try with very sharp sticks and pointing them in, but that generally takes 10 turns to make people worse off. You know, and potentially here, if you had two sound sources, that were spaced at the particular distance, so that point you were talking about when the two ripples meet, was exactly where the organ is, you could probably make something very focused that could actually, make that organ vibrate, just that organ, because it's got the frequency, you've got the right frequency, and it's also positioned in the right place. Aimed, targeted.
Yes,
can you do that? Have you done that?
Yes, absolutely. Listen to the sounds in your ears, and let's say you've got a pain. Go into the spot where the pain is and start with white light, that same frequency as ATP, and it will probably change colors on you and feel that energy. Love the pain. Love what's going on, and the body heals itself so beautifully. It's a way to go to sleep. It's a way to get away from pain. It's a way to move into other dimensions so you can see the answers without all the oughts and shoulds. And that's another reason we create the software that we do and give away to people. That little nano voice software that you play with, JP, that's up for people all the time so that they can talk to it. Now, it doesn't remember the words. It remembers the frequencies. And you can lie with your words, but you can't lie with the frequencies. And you can tell it, I love this job, and I'm going to go to this job every day. And it'll tell you exactly whether or not you love it or not and what that job is leaving out. It can tell you whether you're allergic to food. It can tell you whether you like a certain person or a certain person is lying to you. It's just a silly little thing that looks at the frequencies of your voice and tells you whether you're on the right track, whether you're balanced, whether you have all the notes that you need. Just like we need full spectrum light, we need full spectrum sound. And I think that's why we created music, because that was left out. And the music puts back the signals that we need. But that's just my opinion.
Well, you know, when I have to stop saying, well, you know, at the beginning, I've noticed it now. When I'm feeling kind of pretty stressed, the thing that I'll do is I'll pick up my guitar and just do what I call noodling, which is just to let, you know, just play a note that sounds all right. And then play another note that sounds all right, and then keep playing notes that sound all right, and eventually I'll feel better and I'll put the guitar down again. But
putting the sounds back, and this little nano voice will tell you what sound you need
without having to noodle.
Yes, but
the silent noodler.
Putting that against you, putting your guitar against you, mm-hmm. probably just makes it more potent.
Uh-huh.
My husband's father was the note of D, and my husband is the note of D, and I don't have much D. I really gradate to orange, and that's one of the frequencies of it if you're right brain. And people could get that chart on our website under downloads if they want to go grab a chart and what each note means. But when his father died, there was no outside appearance that he was in grief or that he even cared one way or the other. But his note of D disappeared out of his voice. And we'd been married like 40 years at that point, and I couldn't stand to be in the same room with him. He didn't have my D.
So
but you couldn't tell.
Did you actually hear it, or was it just he felt different?
He felt different. I hated his voice. So when I finally did our voices and we both had D missing, which would make us like aversion to each other, we invited one of our grandchildren over that had the note of D, and then he began to build back his D. I still don't have D, but I have liver issues, and that's part of that. But I listen to a lot of orange sounds and orange colors, and I wear a lot of orange. And so what you're drawn toward is probably what you need, the person. And we can tell you the frequencies of each person. There's a chart there too. Just the soundhealthoptions.com under downloads. I think it's under nano voice. So while you're there, just download the nano voice. Now, if you got a Mac, you can go online and do it. It's the soundhealthportal.com. It's where you can do everything on your own. So we're trying to give this away because we feel like people need to know what their foundation is, what their notes are, what keeps them stable. And we've talked about this before on the show too. There was this movie, The Secret, and it said, by our voice, we can have whatever we want. We just put on a piece of paper and, you know, we wish for it and it comes about. Well, there's two things wrong with that idea. One, if it's the neighbor's wife that you want, somebody's going to run into trouble. And two, the Catholic Church has trained us out of using music that are six notes away, like a C and an F sharp together. And that's really the combination that gives you dominion over what's going on in your life. But they made it a rule that you can't make music. And I don't know if that's ever been undone. It's Penelope Gook, one of the people in England that wrote a book about it, about how the Catholic Church dictated what kind of music could be done. But if you're running along this idea of The Secret and you want this partner and happens to be the wife of your neighbor, we haven't been taught about the consequences of it. So you go talk to this little computer program, and it'll tell you what you really want and what the foundation is and how to get your foundation back. And once you start there, you have a more solid idea of where you want to go and what you want to do. Like, I don't know, 3 or 4, maybe even 5 years ago, you had an epiphany of the way you wanted your life to go, and you got rid of things that didn't work, and you were much more free, and you could tell that in your voice, that you were doing what you wanted to do, not what you were forced to do with all the peer pressure. Do you remember
that? That's right.
We talked about that.
That's right. And, probably if you were to measure my voice today, you'll find plenty of whatever it was that was building. Because I really do more things like, that I want to do and that I'm drawn to do rather than that I have to do. And it's very satisfying, but it means that it's kind of slightly antisocial, because it means that I might want to spend 2 or 3 days focused in on one particular thing without talking to anyone, you know, brooding over something.
Well, how did you get there? How'd you make that decision that you needed to become your part of the universe and just quit fighting what society said you ought to do?
1990. I was about 29, coming up to 30, and I walked across the road from the University of London, where I was working, the Child Health Institute, and I remember distinctly, distinctly this exact moment. And I was halfway across the road, and I thought, sod this for a game of soldiers, which roughly translated means, what am I doing here just getting up in the morning, going to work, using my head, going back with a headache, getting some food, getting some sleep, waking up in the morning, going to work, da-da-da. The same thing over and over and over. It didn't make sense to me anymore. What's interesting, I had had a bike accident 4 years before and kind of woke up after 3 weeks, in some other world. And then, everything changed for me really, because I had no idea how to cope with life in that position. So I had to relearn how to live all again. So, every time it's like having a reboot. Anyway, so, that may have triggered this other thing, because you get to know what's important, I suppose.
Well, one of the things I feel about your show and who you are is that you give people the courage and the tools to take that step. And that's what I appreciate about you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, it's great. So we should take a little break here. And in the chat room, they were talking about Kate Bush. You remember Kate Bush, do you? You remember Kate Bush?
No.
No? She did a song called Wuthering Heights. She had a very high voice. Anyway, somebody was talking about, cloud busting, and, I've lost my mouse. Where is it? Five screens. I've got 5 screens and I can't find the mouse on any of them. Where is it? Maybe the mouse, maybe the battery's died, which makes it even worse. No, it's over there. There it is. Found it. Okay. Right. Crazy. All right. So brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be back with Shari Edwards on the other side of Kate. This is cloud busting.
You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Yes, you're listening. Oh, can't even come back off a break without rolling, tripping over my own tongue, rolling and falling flat on my, my tookers. Anyway.
What kind of tea did you have?
What is in that tea? No, I've had 2 cups of coffee today. It's far too much. There's a thin line, you know. Some people have, they have a level, you know. It's like some people have a beer, level, and you know, like, they're all right up until number 5, or number 4, or, you know, in my case, 1.5. It's that way with coffee. I think I'm a 1.5 coffee. I don't know how I'm going to manage that in the future. But anywho, here we are. And so we've got there's loads of words in the chat room. So if we ran out of words, there's loads that are sort of lurking in there, so you can find them all there. Did we finish the hum issue? Like how you would, I suppose it was the white. Do you think? Right, okay, so here's the thing. Do you think a full-spectrum white noise generator in the room would have a nice effect? Have you ever experimented with anything like that? You know, making a sort of pool of nice sound to sit in.
Yes, we have. We put dopamine in a room, which is the feel-good biochemical. We've put some of the frequencies of chocolate in the room, phenethylamine, which makes you particularly amorous, and that worked. It's both sexes have that reaction to it. So we've done some experiments, but not necessarily with white light just by itself. It looks to me like it would make people quit fighting. Because it's close to pink as it moves out of red into pink and then into white. So I would think it would make people more loving. That's where this 528 thing that Mr. Horowitz is putting out, that's the signal of love. Actually, it's pink and actually it's vasopressin, which causes your blood pressure to go up if you really look at it as a frequency of a biochemical. So that would be a good experiment, wouldn't it? I don't know if anybody has just put out white light. Now, they put out white noise, and that's just a masking thing. But to put out a record of, or CD of just white light, I don't know. I'm going to go try it.
Have you got a frequency? What specific frequency is this?
Halfway between B and C.
Yeah, I know, but like, what sort of number are we talking? I know that 256 is the that's the note of C, so it'll be something down from there.
Just if you get a schedule of it online, just average between B and C. Uh-huh. And see where you're going. I don't have that in front of me, or I'd do it for you.
All right. Then I have to think. Now, where is my note calculator, which I wrote several years ago? I use it by every 6 months, but it's a great little thing.
It's going to be a little different depending on what they base it on, 440, 442, or whatever.
Anyway, so frequency of white light. Now, for instance, is it possible to play that frequency in, say, ultrasonic and infrared notes, so you wouldn't actually hear it? Infrasound notes, not infrared, but infrasound, and perhaps even the frequency. Is there what about the frequency in nanometers?
You'd have to go get that off the internet. That's more than I can deal with. I think the only one I think I know is red, and that's 31 to the negative ninth or something like that. But it's all on the internet someplace. You know, and we had a guy who was a homeopath that used to come to us for his high blood pressure. And we could put the frequencies in our laboratory machine, and before we turned it on, his blood pressure would normalize. So he was hearing it on some kind of level or layer, because we were separated by a window and we're each in a different room. So I think you're on to something there.
And
different,
have you considered also that you may be emanating the frequency before the machine does, and on subtle levels?
Well, it seems to be the other way around, that I am picking up their sounds. I'll give you an example of that. We had this guy come in, and I used to never want to know what somebody had because I wanted all my data to be clean. And I walked into the room where he was, and the air was yellow and brown and dirty. And I thought, oh, no, hallucinating again. But I just went on. I'm so used to that, you know, the air turning colors and whatever. And it's from a form of synesthesia, people. It's just my brain works different.
I was just going to say synesthesia. And yeah. So you must have a great time at a concert. Classical concerts, so you see all the forms. Anyway, so you saw the guy with yellow and brown, and
we went back to his vocal print, and he had cataracts. And I said, "What's it like to have cataracts?" And he said, "Well, the air looks dirty and brown." So I had picked that up when I walked into the room, and I do that automatically. I don't try to do it. Sometimes I try to keep from doing it. Because there's so much coming at me. It's really, really hard for me to be in a room with a lot of people unless I'm kind of the leader of the people. It drives my husband crazy. He says, someday I can't say that expletive on the radio, is going to get you into more trouble than you can manage, because he doesn't have much privacy, but he's kind of gotten used to it over the 50 years that we've been together. But it's very hard having this thing or whatever it is that you have to be very thin skinned to pick it up, but very thick skinned to handle it. I mean, what if it's you're too, and this happened. A guy came up to me and I could feel his vibe from the audience. And he said to me, "You're too ugly to be on stage."
No.
And I thought, he did. And I knew he had an issue with me in some way. And so he looked like a little troll, but I didn't say that. And I handed it back to him and I said, "Well, what do you think I could do about it?" And he said, "Nothing. You look like my mother and I hate her too." So it was really his issue, and he trusted me enough to tell me about it. It wasn't me. So when people say those kinds of things to you, just kind of see where they're coming from. Step out of what they are bombarding you with. But you, in order to handle it, and a lot of people can't, that they pick up what's going on and they become depressed because the other person is. They don't know how to clean their energy field. And you can do it very simply with music. You can do it with a white light inside the deepest core of you. My core is underneath my breastbone, some people's third eye. Start with a tiny, tiny speck of white light, because that just absorbs all the light. And just in your imagination, grow it, and then, or you can just snap your fingers and just let it go all over your body at once. And you'll get chills, and you'll feel energized. If you have somebody else do it, you'll feel the surge. You can do it by touching certain points on your body like they do with energy release stuff. What they're doing is really touching points that reorganize that energy of your body. So I think we can do this from the inside out. I think we can pick up everybody else's stuff. I think privacy is an illusion. I think we just don't trust ourselves a lot of the times in a way that we can keep the other person intact and keep ourselves away from it. I really have a hard time working in a room with other people. And if they're confused, I can't do a thing. I have to get away from them. And the other thing about this cataracts guy, it was germanium was his issue. And he took this little vial out of his pocket. It was germanium. Japan had sent him in to test me. And they offered me $6 million for the whole business, lock, stock, and barrel. Can you think about Japan being in charge of your health and whether or not you're going to get the medicine you need? I freaked it out. I went to the government with the idea, and they said, "Ah, sell it to them." And I just couldn't do that. They said, we can take it back from them anytime we want. I just didn't want to get involved in that kind of thing. But boy, I sure could have used the $6 million.
Would have helped nicely, but I'm glad you didn't. We're all glad you didn't, that, you know, because it's for everybody, isn't it? And,
I'm trying to keep it.
Yeah.
For everybody.
Somehow. You see, what's, hang on, let me just, what's the, hello?
You're fading out on me.
My mic was crackling. What is now, lost my train of thought because I was fiddling with buttons. The key, it's all about this key information that frequencies connect with each other. You know, that a note in one octave has a correspondence with a note in another octave, or a color of the same position in the octave, or of a smell in another different octave. Have you discovered the octave of smells and of feelings? Sherry? Sherry, you're muted.
Oh,
there we
sorry.
Go.
I'll have to write them down so I can remember them. 1 to 2 is biomagnetic, 2 to 4 is bioelectric, 4 to 8 is biochemical, 8 to 16 is emotions. There's where we can jump into people's emotions. You asked me another one too. What was the other one you asked? Not just emotions, but
emotions and feelings and smell. Where does smell live in the frequency band?
I may be lying to you, but I think it's right around 60,000 and up. But it's all an octave, and it's complete octaves, just like rainbows are complete. There's a complete octave of sight. There's 8 octaves of hearing. But we believe much more in sight than we do in hearing. And it's because we can open our eyes and see the same thing again. But we can't open and shut our ears and hear the same thing again. That's kind of a strange thing to think about, isn't it?
Indeed. I've often wondered. But I also realized that that's something like 8 octaves. You know, from the lowest note that we can discern to the highest note that we can discern.
Mm-hmm. Well, it begins to hurt right around 12,000.
Yeah.
You can really hear it up a bit to 20, but boy,
that's
it hurts.
That's about when I can't hear it anymore. Mr. Rockstar.
Well, the government put me through all kinds of paces about what I could hear and what I couldn't, because if I would sing to a vegetable, it would dehydrate. But they did the same frequency with the laser and it would rot. So what they were intrigued about with my voice was that it could erase iron oxide, not erase, scramble. So they were really upset about that I could do sounds. But I have
Hey, can I pause there, right? Because there's so many data points you just threw in there. Like, I really have to break in. So you were able to dehydrate a cabbage, did you say?
Well, we did tomatoes, cucumbers, onions. We did 4 things. I can't remember the other one.
Okay, so salad. And it would you would basically cause the water to turn to plasma. Is that right?
Well, is that what happens when you dehydrate something? Like,
it's
you dry it up?
It's got to go somewhere.
I believe that's what
pyramids do as well. The pyramid. So perhaps you've got the frequency of the pyramid. Was it anywhere near an A by any chance?
You know, I don't remember. I think each of the vegetables was something else. I'd have to go look. Boy, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, but that's such an interesting data point, Sherry. And it also corresponds with my pyramid theory, is that pyramids, you know, if you put a piece of fruit in a pyramid, it will dehydrate.
Yeah, it's 5 positives to every 4 negatives. Is that what it is? my voice does pure tones, and a human voice is not supposed to be doing pure tones. And they think it's because I have an activated, wait, what's it called? Maybe a sacculus? It's something that dolphins have that humans don't usually have. But that's activated in my ear. And they think that's why I can hear this otoacoustic emission coming out of the side of your head, your ear, really. And that's what I based everything on. I could do this, and I didn't want it to die with me, so that's why I've created all this computer stuff so everybody can have it. But that's what they think. My ears are developed differently, or just mutation, or I'm from another planet, or another dimension, however they want to say it. Yeah.
Or all of those. But Sherry, the otoacoustic emission, sorry, I'm busting in there, but I'm, you know, you keep pouring it all out, and I got to nail some down. The otoacoustic emission, I remember you talking to me about this 22 years ago, in Glastonbury, in Street, and, it was something that came, you said it came out of the ears. Have you, also been able to take a higher frequency microphone, stick them in people's ears and hear this stuff and maybe slow its frequency down and listen to it in audio frequencies? I'm sure if I'd have been you, I would have done that.
Absolutely. And it, Tomatis, an English guy, did it in Burrard, picked it up and has taken it on. They can, put a wire microphone in your ear and pick up this otoacoustic emission that they think really comes out of the ear, and it can't. Cohen, who's another researcher whose name I don't remember, and it's about acoustical environments, the ear isn't long enough or round enough to give off the frequencies that we're picking up. We think it is a combination of all the frequencies in the brain, but it's just one, and I'm hearing it. And John Hopkins University confirmed that, been written up in lots of books. But when we do the voice, we can see over many octaves, not just one thing. But I think in ancient literature, that's what they were talking about as a signature sound. It's all over medlars now. They're using it to diagnose pancreatic and liver issues. So they just don't have it perfected yet. So when they begin to look at this scientifically, and it came from a talent, oh, that can't be any good. Now, we just applied to do a presentation at a medical conference, and they came back with, prove to us that other people have published this and it works. Well, how can you, since we're the pioneers? You know, we published our first papers in 82. You know, there's such this stuffy, erudite, prove it to us, but at the same time they fake their research. You know, if it works, use it. People who have back pain and we give them a sound and it gets rid of the back pain, they don't care how we did it. They just care that it works. And we can get rid of gout and hot flashes and hives and allergic reactions. And we absolutely don't know how we're doing it, with the exception of the sounds entrain brainwaves. And in some of our articles, you can see that our brainwaves, I'm singing a sound to somebody else, and our brainwaves synchronize to 3 decimal points. That's impossible. We might as well be the same person. And I also think that's how psychic ability happens. People who have this ability to tune in and become somebody else's frequency, that's psychic ability, and that's how it happens. And we prove some of that with Reiki stuff, testing somebody before and after the Reiki person, the person they're working on. And once they work on the person, the brainwaves and the vocal prints become very, very similar. Just some people are better at it than others, or quicker at it, or I don't know. Think about, is it Jonathan Edwards? And he'll say, talk to me. And you'll say, well, my name's Frank Guppy or something, and then he'll tell you about your ancestors. Where's he getting that? He's tuning into that flow of frequency from your mind to his. Awesome
my mind
stuff.
To your mind. The Vulcan mind meld, yeah. So,
and one of the things I can do that people don't understand is I can hear space. I can do a sound. If I'm in a room, I can do a sound, and based on that sound, we can tell the dimensions of the room. So it's just an odd thing about my ears.
Well, that's a really interesting thing, because that, you know, I think about frequencies a lot, and I've often thought, well, the secrets to building must be something also to do with the dimensions of a room. And certain dimensions will give certain frequencies, which will impart a certain tone to what the room contains, quite literally. My theory, Sherry, you'll love this one, is, you know, when you walk into a room or you walk out of a room and you've forgotten what you've said or what you were going to do when you walk into there, and then you walk back into the first room and you remember it, and then you walk, you know, it's exactly that. It's exactly, we move into a space that has a different tone. We're in a different environment. The tune in our head's different. How can we remember what we just thought about? That's my theory.
Well, I agree with you, because every room has a different frequency. Like circles are a C. And things that are 9/8, which would be 16 by 18 room, they're a D. Do you want all of these dimensions?
Go, 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 please.
It's 1 9/8, 5/4, 4/3, 3/2, 5/3, and 15/8. And it's all C, D, E, F, G, I, B. Now, there's the B and the F are very closely related, because there are ranges of notes, just like A can be 440 and 432 and whatever. There's ranges of notes that when you're looking at the musical scale and the painter's wheel, there's C, 94 degrees of C, and I think 114 degrees of C sharp, and on around to you get to B, and there's 147 degrees there. So if we're looking at a room that's 9/8, to some people, they're going to experience the note of D, the color orange, and the next person is going to experience the exact opposite, the G sharp. We should put this up on your site. Just like all those articles I sent you, you are welcome to put them up on your site if you think people would be interested.
It's fascinating stuff, indeed, because, for instance, Sherry, when you walk into a room, you must therefore see the color of the room, of the frequency of the room when you walk in, and just the sound of your footsteps create colors in the room. Does that happen for you?
I hear the sound more than I see the color, because the lighting has to be right for me to see the color. But if someone walks in there, I can see the color of their energy and their aura. If there is a certain light rose background, I invented something called aura cards, and almost anybody can see an aura, because it just trains your eyes to see an aura. And I don't even know if those are for sale on our site. I'm going to have to check, but I'll send you something about it.
Yeah, I'd love to. Whatever you want to send me, a little pack of your stuff, so that I can, you know, read it in my leisure. But, you've created and you've, nurtured the big list. The big list of all the correspondences, you see. Because that's like, you know, this is a great alchemical work. You understand that?
Because and it just kind of flowed through.
Yeah. This is part of
I didn't have to
why
work.
You were here. So it's good.
I didn't have to work at it much. Sylvia Franck, an English lady who wrote a book about the Tree of Life and the Holy Grail, says that Sherry Edwards is a modern keeper of the Holy Grail information. Now, somehow the Templars found a way to imbibe into our DNA information. And I think that's just what I'm remembering. But so this last 30 years or so, I've been creating all these things. Aura cards and sona cards and computer programs and charts and whatever that we try to give away and share with people. But you know, I have a downfall, a terrible downfall, that I love the creation of it. And once I create it and I find out it worked, I just don't have any interest anymore. And when you have a business that you have to support, you have to create a thing or a service, and you have to sell it. And selling has never been of any interest to me whatsoever. And so when they finally got me to move there, we need to sell this to pay the payroll and pay the rent, what they forgot and what no other business tells you is you have to create a need. And nobody knows that we can help them get rid of gout pain and reverse cancers, and that's what the whole institute is about, and that we see people and we work with their doctors and we can tell them what's going on with their bodies and their frequencies, and we created this whole elaborate online thing for them to do it themselves. But we didn't lay claim to what we could do. You know, how dumb of me. I'm just not built to be a business person. I am just a creator.
You're not a saleswoman. I totally get you. Go ahead.
I just like sharing with people. Look at my name. Cher E. But we need trainers. We need people who can go out and teach this in every country. And one of the reasons we didn't jump out there and say, look what we have. We can do all this. One, I was scared of our government. And two, I was going to create a need that I couldn't fill. What if your baby, this really happened, what if your baby had cancer? And I said we could help, but we didn't have enough people to go around to come see your baby. I think it was in Denver. And I traveled with a bodyguard because people just mobbed me. And I was in the bathroom and this lady was following me in the stall. And my bodyguard grabbed her and said, I don't know what she said to her. I said to her, I need to do this by myself. And she was standing right there when I came back out. She said, my baby is dying. Her lungs aren't working. And I wasn't going to see anybody, but I went with her. And the baby couldn't talk, and I'd never seen a baby that was gray, like gray rubber. And I put my hands on the baby, and I synchronized the breathing, like you're saying, and I did a sound. There was no voice to do it. I did a sound, and the baby started to pink up. She just had this frequency missing that the hospital couldn't identify. The mother, nobody could identify. And through touching her, I was able to do it. And the baby lived. That's a miracle to me. And I want everybody to have that ability. Another one I can remember, a little girl, 13, and she had Tourette's syndrome. And she couldn't talk either. She'd barely open her mouth. She gritted her teeth a lot. She ground her teeth off. She couldn't talk. She'd do an action and just keep doing the action until you stopped her, but you could look in her eyes and see that there was something alive in there. And so I did her sound with my ears, and out of her mouth before I was finished was, thank you, thank you. She was saying thank you to me. And within 3 or 4 days, she was able to tell her mother that her mother's boyfriend had been molesting her for years. There's something to this idea of frequency. We don't have all the answers, but we can change lives. Math as medicine. We've proven that it's a reality. We just don't know how it works.
Mathematics? Medicine? Music?
Yes.
Magic?
Yes.
Same thing.
DNA? Alchemy, space, our ancestors knew about it, we forgot. And I'm just trying to help people remember, which is another chapter I wrote, what we have forgot to remember. And if you want that, I'll send it to you too, or people can find it on our site.
Thank you.
But our greatest thing is that we want to teach other people to do it. Or for doctors, we want them to send us vocal prints so that we can tell what's really going on with the person, like Lewy proteins. And we were able to look at that for Robin Williams 3 years before it ever happened. And if they'd have listened to us, we could have looked at his GABA and his choline. People don't have to be ill anymore. Whoever controls this technology controls the quality of life. And I want it to be the people. And I've struggled to keep it free for the people, because your health, I think, belongs to you. But we create all different kinds of problems with that, because we're going to get overpopulated. We're going to have to find a way to go to the moon. And we've already done that with, we know the frequency that keeps the bones intact and the muscles from atrophying. So somebody's, one of these companies that's going to Mars is going to get smart and get in touch with us. I've written to them and they've just kind of ignored me, because we don't have any proof. We don't have a weight room where we can prove things. We don't have an anti-gravity room so we can't prove that. But people don't realize that every bit of this has been sponsored by me. What I can earn, what money we get from people teaching, that all goes to the pot to make sure that this is kept safe for the people.
That's right. That's why I always supported you, Shari, because you have this attitude, and it's the right thing. It's just absolutely the right thing. So I honor you for that. Thank you.
You are welcome. It has to be that way. And I think there are lifetimes, I believe in reincarnation. There are lifetimes that I remember when I worked with sound and I didn't protect it. And I didn't say, go get that guy because they're trying to stop us or whatever. I just thought, let's everybody develop it. There's enough sick people to go around. And they ended up squashing what was really good for the people, just like today, where health is about money. It's not about health. So in this lifetime, I'm trying to spread it all out to everybody so we can all work on this together. I don't have anything for my efforts except satisfaction that this is going to make it easier for our future.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's got slightly, it's getting a bit sticky now. I'm going to have to rebuild it this week. My little on off switch. Anyway, so what I was thinking, what was I thinking? I had a great thought.
You said there were some audience questions too.
Oh, there might be. But I've still got plenty of my own.
Okay.
Let's see. Yes, this is Ever Beyond on Ever Beyond Radio. This is JP speaking with Shari Edwards, and we're discussing the ever-present frequency. That message just went... that question just went completely out of my head. Anyway, let's see if what we have in the chat room here. Let's see if there's anything. If you want to ask a question, put it in uppercase. Oh, yeah. It was, we're coming to the last 20 minutes of the show. And how about a bit of... what we call celebrity signature sounds. Let's put it like that. We have a little segment. Celebrity signature. Harvey Weinstein high on chocolate. Do you want to talk about... This is something you sent me last week. Harvey high on chocolate. Presumably this is Harvey Weinstein.
He is a director in Hollywood that has this director's couch mentality. And he's been accused of raping and molesting men and young boys. And it's come out till they've kicked him out of his own company. But they also asked me beforehand whether or not it was true. And yes, it's true. that he was doing this. He is not going to go for help. Even if he does, it's not going to work. He's not taking it seriously. You can tell that from his voice. He believes it's his due and his position that he has a right to do this. And even if he goes for help, he's going to go right back. And I looked at his voice for past, future, and present. And one of the highest notes in his voice is this phenylethylamine, which is that ingredient in chocolate I said that makes everybody horny. But at the same time, he has very low testosterone. So even though he has the desire, I don't think he could satisfy himself or anyone else. And I tried to say that politely.
So that's very interesting. High on chocolate, where he looks like he enjoys the odd bar or five. No stranger to
have
the,
you seen he's lost?
Pack. He's lost.
He's lost a lot of weight recently. But think about his old dating habits of taking your lady chocolate. There really was something to that because, look, phenylethylamine, it is the biochemical that increases desire.
Uh-huh.
Did I make you speechless?
Skype is making you speechless. Let me call you back. Give me a second, and I'll pick. Can you pick it up again?
Okay.
And we're just calling Sherry back. Signal was breaking down a bit, so we. Often when you reset the call, it gives it a chance to kind of catch up with itself. And it takes a few seconds to do this. So, yeah, throw more questions down there, celebrity questions, like, because Sherry does do people in the news. Yes. Yes, indeed. She said she dehydrated vegetables with her voice. Uh-huh. Right. Oh, dear. Where's Sherry? Hello. Won't let me answer. Hang on. I'm going to try again to, Okay. It's coming. It's coming. There you are.
There it goes. Okay.
There you are.
Back. I was punching all over that green phone handle. It just wouldn't answer.
Oh, how would.
Is it any better?
Oh, yeah, they are much better. Nice and clean.
Maybe they just didn't like us being on so long.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, let's go on. So, Vanessa's asking, what about Corey Feldman? Have you, analyzed that? Have you seen that clip with her and Barbara, with him and, sorry, her, with Corey Feldman and Barbara Walters? And Corey Feldman's trying to bring the whole thing out, and Barbara's saying, no, don't talk about it, or you bring the whole thing collapsing down. Do you want to do that? Do you want to be responsible for bringing it all down?
Well, I can do that, and to let you know that we posted all of that on our site, mm-hmm. and the National Enquirer picked up that Harvey Weinstein article, mm-hmm. and it's being published on the November 5th, so it's being published today if people want to go look at it. The other one that we published was Prince Charles, and we did him over several years, and it's on our site. It's under the Royals, and the Globe picked that one up, so they are on to our site.
Excellent.
But you can see what's real, what we really wrote and how they kind of, I don't want to say twisted. Yeah, let's say twisted. Yeah. Twisted it around a bit.
Yeah.
Of what's going on.
We have you on our newsfeed as well. If you go to Wolf Spirit Radio's page, we've got a newsfeed, and your feed is your RSS is caught up with that as well. So that's, we always catch up with your articles. So, yeah. So there's so much going on right now. about exposing the child trafficking, the Pizzagate. Have you done that lot? Any of that lot? Here's the question. Here's the question, Sherry. Perhaps the most compassionate thing for the evolution of humanity is for everybody to be able to see the truth. And would it be possible? There are predatory. Have you examined the enough of these predatory, pedophile type beings to find a commonality between that? Is there a pedophile frequency?
Not a frequency, but there's a pedophile architecture. We did Jerry Sandusky, and we did it before his trial and said, yes, he's guilty, and this is the word that this hinges on. And the word was horseplay. He didn't feel that having anal sex with these 9-year-olds was anything sexual. He believed he was doing them a favor by befriending them, and obviously somebody befriended him that way. He, if you look at his vocal print, it's on our site under, I think, liars, I can't remember, but he really felt that sex was something that you do with your wife for procreation. But we have over 500 videos about who's telling the truth and how to look at that architecture. There's some on YouTube, there's some on Vimeo. We tended to put more of them on Vimeo so people could download them. It's harder to download from YouTube. But Jerry Sandusky's stuff is there. We did UFO stuff. Who's Lying? All through the election, we did that. We looked at some of Congress people for Alzheimer's and to see who was sick. We're just now putting up lists. Go to thesoundhealthoptions.com and in the news and articles. There's a whole list there. We try to keep the current ones there. We were able to tell what Prince Charles was really looking for in a mate and why he ended up with Camilla. We were able to look at Kate and William. We were able to look at Bridgegate. We were able to look at whether Biden was going to run or not. We have been so correct by time in what we're doing, and we probably could sell this for millions, and the government has aggravated me to sell it to them, and that's why I refuse to put it into a software. But we teach people online how to do it. I just don't want people to come in and say, this belongs to the government because we're going to use it for the legal system. You know, if everybody had to tell the truth, there would be absolute chaos for a while. There'd be lots of divorces. Our legal system would go down the toilet. But I think after we straightened it out, the world might be a better place because people really think that they want the truth. But they don't, and they don't tell the truth. And if the truth is to manipulate someone else or to save your own reputation, it's probably not a good thing. I was in a court thing recently, and the lawyer asked me, do you tell lies? And I said, yes. And he said, do you remember the last lie you told? And I said, yes, absolutely. He said, tell me about it. And I said, my mother's furnace blew up. And she was so upset, and I told her I had the money and I'd get her a new one. I didn't. I had to go borrow the money. But it was for her benefit, so she wouldn't be upset. She was old and upset. He said, well, do you remember the second last lie you told? I said, absolutely, because it really bugs me to tell a lie. And I was with a friend who was getting, doing a job interview. And she got up, and you can tell how long ago this was. She did a little twirly thing, and she had on nylons, and she had a big run in the back of her stocking. She said, how do I look? I said, just right. If I'd have told her she had a big run in her stocking, she would have blown that interview. She got the job. But I didn't lie to her. I said, just write. Because I think everything happens for a reason. And there is a way to tell people the truth without hurting them, I think. And with keeping everything intact. You know, I did 2 or 3 hour shows on this. What's the truth and what value is the truth? And people can look those up on Vimeo, how to construct their talk so that they're telling the truth, but they're not being mean and malicious in what's going on. Another little idea comes to mind that may help people. I was due to a show and do a speech, and I was on the phone with a mother who was desperate. Her daughter was dying, and I ran over, and I was late getting there. And I didn't, or my daughter said, just tell them we got lost. And I said, no, I can't do that. That's going to mess up my frequencies, because I think every lie you tell puts garbage in your system. And I said, I'm sorry you had to wait. That's what I was really sorry about. I was not sorry I was late. I was doing something incredibly important. Now, I wasn't totally hours late. It was just a few minutes. But I was sorry she had to wait. That was the truth. And if we began to look at our own messaging about what we mean and how we're trying to save face, then I think we would have less dis-ease in our own bodies. So that little nano voice teaches you to tell the truth, even when it's you telling the fib.
It's quite fascinating how we give everything away with everything that we do. You know, every movement that our bodies make, you know, our lips might be going hibbly, 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 but our bodies are saying, he's telling Porky's here, mate. Porky Pie's lies. It's
privacy,
because we,
I think.
Yeah. We've been focused down into this tiny little area of communication, but if you had holistic communication and telepathy, you wouldn't be able to lie.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think privacy is an illusion. We're just too polite to confront people. We don't want them to feel bad. We don't want them to feel bad about us. So think about the words and how you express them. When you say, this living room really needs to be cleaned up, and you're making that statement, nobody else gets up to make a statement. They go, clear it up. You've made the statement that this needs to be cleaned up, and or I really need to clean this up. You should say, everybody here should jump in, and we should get this cleaned up. Because if you don't say it that way and nobody helps you, you end up with resentment. And that idea, again, is dis-ease. You're not free with what you're saying. You're holding back. You're expecting everybody else to feel your needs and to serve them. You have to state them. And you can be free. My mom said many years ago that the truth will set you free, but first it will make you miserable. And I believe that.
So, couple of questions from chat. In fact, the same question. Julian Assange. Have you analyzed any of his speakings?
Yes, many and many times. He is telling the truth. I don't remember all of it. There was one little thing that he held back. Did I send you this? With David Frost. Yeah, an interview with David Frost. Let's see if we can get it to come back. It's not egotistical. He didn't have planned responses. There's a need for balance of perception and action using words that result in a positive physical outcome. Is he guilty of the sexual harass or deals? Yes, he had sex with the ladies, but he feels they were harassed into filing against him. R-E-S-P-O-N. I didn't spell responses right. He wants everything right for all concerned, But I'm going to back up here a minute and give you Bradley Manning, who's now Cheryl somebody or Chelsea somebody. Bradley Manning thinks of information as something alive, and he saw it distorted. He saw what was going on, and that's why he brought out his stuff. I also did the guy in Russia. What's his name? So Assange is going to be a hero. The only way that we came out with
the Gibbs or no, glasses, eh? I can't remember.
I didn't understand a word you said.
Edward Snowden. The guy with glasses. I said it in Cockney. Geezer with glasses.
Okay. Assange is bringing all of this out because he think it's fair to the people to know how they were being spied on. And I don't think anybody's ever said it straight. The United States and England got together and said, the English guy said, I'm not allowed to spy on my own people. You do it for me and give me the information. And the U.S. guy, Obama in this case, said, I'm not allowed to spy on my people. You spy on them and give me the information. They are spying on people, and they should do more of it so they can stop these things. Like, we had another massacre this weekend and then one last weekend. But if they're going to do the job, do it right and leave the normal people alone. And they've got all these algorithms that pick up things. I'd like to know how many things they've actually stopped from happening. And that's going to get us on this great big thing about a pharma, big pharma, P-H-A-R-M-A, that all of these people have been on some kind of mind-altering, mood-altering drugs, at least the United States ones, and the younger kids have. There's a book out by Gwen Olson, O-L-S-E-N, I believe, Confessions of a Legal Drug Pusher, and she's really trying to right that problem. She'd be great on your show. What she says is she was a rep for drug companies, and she was so good at it that they put her in charge of teaching other people, but they gave her the mission of what was going on up front, and the mission was get the doctors to give the babies the shots the first day of life, because that'll make them sick enough that we'll have a customer for the rest of their life.
Oh,
and
God.
She exposed them, and now she's out of the country, but I'll give you her address to get in touch with her, because they were trying to do away with her, just like these other people about vaccines and what's all going on with that. That the CDC actually created and owns the vaccines that they're pushing and making people sick of, which is another article that we've written, what's really in these new Gardasil vaccines. So we are trying our best to educate people about all of this, because we're being lied to. And Julian Assange and Snowden and Bradley Manning are all trying to bring out the people's rights, and they're going to find out that these people were telling the truth, and they're on the side of the people, and we ought to listen to them. Assange has, I don't know if it's millions yet, but you can go in and put in someone's name and see the real stuff of what's going on, and it's just now coming out in our government. All of the, I don't even know what to call them, illegal things that some of the political parties were doing to try to spin what was going on to the people. And there was actually a guy, I don't remember his name, but I did his evaluation. He helped Obama put together Obamacare and actually said to the people, you are too stupid to know the truth. We are telling you what you need to know. And he was telling the truth. And we did a whole hour show on him, if I could just remember his name. He's now been disgraced. Obama disowned him. So we're not getting the right messages. And that's one of the reasons we put up this Nano Voice for free. And there's been hundreds of thousands of downloads of it. We want people to be able to look at the truth for themselves without the spin.
So, that's about
can
it.
Can I say one last thing?
Well, yeah, you got 13 seconds.
Lawyers. They get paid to be on one side or the other, and that's what's happening to our political system.
They're all lawyers. They're all liars. Shari Edwards, it's been, as always, and greatly a pleasure tonight. Thank you so much. This has been Ever Beyond. Good night, Shari.
Good night, all. Later.